Have you ever noticed that sometimes the best windows in your home are the ones you don't even notice? Windows that don't stick. Windows that don't have cold air rushing in around them. They don't rattle in the wind or remind you how bad they are when you get your energy bill. The best windows in your house don't fog between the panes either. Have quiet enjoyment of your beautiful new windows from the window experts at Welty Custom Exteriors, serving all of Central Indiana from 800-466-7231. Welty Custom Exteriors.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line on this Thursday morning. Special thanks to our sponsors, Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Also a special thanks to Clinton County Senator Brian Buchanan for helping us out as well. I'm Kevin Keith. It's a Thursday morning. We're at the Clinton County 4-H Fair for 2018, and we're going to talk to Jill Henderson next. Jill's here as a representative with Tri-Green Tractor. Jill, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming out today. Tell us a little bit about how Tri-Green's involved in the 4-H Fair.
Well, Tri-Green Tractor is your local John Deere dealer here in Clinton County. We've been here way since the early 50s, and the kids that are involved in the 4-H program, even if it's a project and or a livestock animal, they're our future. So we're here to support the future farmers, the future kids. I sit here and I look at Alan and I look at Jamie, and I was on the fair board with Jamie's dad. I've watched these guys grow up, and, you know, now they're here with their children. So it's the generations through the years of being a member of this community and this the county, and it's just a part of a tradition.
You said that Tri-Green will be out in full force tomorrow in an auction standpoint as well. So you guys are practicing what you preach.
Yeah, we come out on the livestock auction every year, and we try to support all of our kids and maybe even the children that mom and dad don't farm, but have a very good interest in raising a sheep or a goat or a rabbit that sells. So we're true people that stand behind our community.
So Tri-Green Tractor's probably always been a supporter of Clinton County, right, for the 4-H Fair?
Yeah, yes. You guys have been back here from the early John Deere days when the John Deere dealership used to be uptown Frankfort.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that goes a long, long way, and to the nice facility we have now out on 28, and goes a long time back.
So how do you feel about the current Fair Council and the board and the foundation they've created? And this is a good thing for the future, isn't
it? It is, and as a past Fair Board member, I want to congratulate Jamie and this year's Fair Board for just how awesome the grounds look out here.
You know what it takes, don't you?
It takes a lot. It's not a week before the fair project to come out and put it together. It's 12 months of how are we going to get this fixed and who's going to paint and the volunteerism. And I really stress to people to come out and give your time. It's it makes you feel good. It's a great effort. You get to know good people, and it's about helping each other.
All right. Jamie, what else would you like to talk with Jill about with Tri-Green Tractor representing this morning?
Not only Tri-Green sponsoring our fair, what'd you tell me, over 11 fairs?
Yeah, we support 11 county fairs in the state of Indiana.
Oh, wow, okay.
So that's quite a commitment from a business in our community, and we just wanted to give them an opportunity to come out here and, you know, talk a little bit about our fairgrounds and how the upkeep and the future building our fair to a better way and their support. And I think for the rest of the half hour, if we could hear from Alan and Jill about the future of Clinton County and farming and that aspect of how that could tie into our fairgrounds and improving it and where they see farming and agriculture going in the next 10 years.
Let's start with Jill on that. So do you see that as, I mean, I don't see farming in the ag community going away anytime or downsizing in Clinton County.
No.
And your sales probably show that too, right?
Yeah, it's not as good as it was in 2012, right, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
But, it follows the market. It follows the trend. You know, if I didn't have Alan and the farmers out here, you know, we wouldn't be here. So we support and try to help with advanced technology coming. You know, we're not farming like we did in 1950 now.
Right.
And it is very technical, and that seed development goes from how you manufacture that planter to how we're going to work the ground. We were just talking about a project as young son done it. You know, it's Mother Nature, but I think, you know, when you drive by and you look at the fields, you know, everybody's amazed how tall the corn is right now. You know, how can that, you know, be? And you know, we're going to be harvesting first week of September. You know, so we're probably 30 days early this year. And, you know, that affects our business as far as parts and repair. People are just now thinking, okay, I've got time to put my planter up. It's nice outside. Well, you've got about 45 days till, you know, I hope your combine's ready. You know,
right.
You're thinking, oh, gosh, here we come. So it's going to be here. It's just going to be a different way we farm, I think. Don't you agree, Alan, in the future?
Yeah, I think from a county perspective, not with my farmer hat on, with my councilman's hat on, I think one of the things that's been a real focus for us and a real strategic decision is to capitalize on our strength of agriculture, and not just agriculture from farming, but agriculture in the sense of agribusiness.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at, well, look at the businesses that are out on 28 going all the way to 65. We have a very agribusiness theme. That's something that we have as a real competitive advantage. There's not a lot of counties that can say you're number one or two and however many different things that we are, you know, like corn and soybeans and hogs and things like that,
right.
Top five anyway. So we as a county, we one of the things we've kind of taken on as a branding, I guess, if you will, is to call ourselves, you know, we're the county that feeds the state, that feeds the nation, that feeds the world. And we really believe that, and so we've made a real focus to have the ConAgras, the Frito-Lays, you know, the Purina Mills, those mm-hmm. kinds of companies located in our community. And I, you know, I can't get into too much detail, but we're in some conversations with some other major agribusiness players to potentially locate here that, if it happens, it's really going to be a boon to the farming, the farmers in the community, because it's going to give them a new outlet for some sales if we can be successful in our efforts. So we're really, really trying to say, hey, let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's not go try to be somebody we're not. Let's take what we're really good at and make it world class and capitalize on it. And so we, you know, agribusiness and agriculture is by far one of the most important things in Clinton County that we can do and build on.
You'd mentioned that you can't talk a whole lot about it, but, you know, you guys are always talking with, you know, and looking for potential you know, businesses coming in here. Where do you see it in 10 years? Are you hoping for a couple more ag business related groups out there?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that's been a little bit of a game, well, two things have been a game changer. One was when ConAgra decided to locate in Clinton County, and ConAgra with their massive, I mean, that's a distribution facility for essentially the eastern half of the United States. And so, and they distribute products that are theirs and products of companies that they partner with and so on and so forth. So we have a lot of interest from industry that may want to get a synergy from that, you know, that mm-hmm. want to be a maybe an indirect supplier to ConAgra, so on and so forth. So we have a huge advantage in that, I can't remember, it's some very high number, 40 or 50% of the country's population is within a one-day drive of Frankfort, because we can get out on 65 and go north. We can hit Indianapolis and go on 70.
Mm.
And so we are at a tremendously advantageous logistical position in terms of if a company wants to move an ag product, where those things tend to be perishable.
Mm.
And so getting them to market very quickly is an important consideration. So we're very, very lucky in that respect. And then lastly, a lot of food processing entities need water, and we are so blessed to be situated over a very major aquifer that goes through the heart of our industrial park that gives us the ability to offer a water resource that a lot of communities just can't match.
Right.
So we're set up, you know, Mother Nature, God's blessed us with some very advantageous things that we've just decided, let's not try to go be high-tech semiconductors or
right.
You know, things like that. Let's be high-tech agriculture, high-tech agribusiness, and that business is modernizing and changing. And Jill knows from the equipment industry, agriculture is so high tech now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we've seriously talked about on our farm is the need to have an IT person.
Right.
You know,
right.
That was something that 20 years ago we would have never dreamed of. But the technology, on a daily basis, not only on the equipment, but how you manage the farm from your office is changing so rapidly. So agriculture is very high tech, high paying jobs, something to really concentrate on.
That's what I was going to ask you about on your farming operation in the eastern part of the county, I guess. What do you primarily focus on?
Well, we're a grain farm, corn and soybeans, and we grow a lot of food grade corn that we take to various mills that turn that corn into food products that I'm sure have been sold on the shelves here in mm-hmm. Frankfurt somewhere, some kind of product. I was told at one point in time some of the corn that we take to a mill in Indianapolis that they use that food product. They call it masa is the product they make, and anyway, it's used in the breading in McDonald's chicken nuggets. So who knows? Maybe the kids of the county have had some of the corn on my farm in their chicken nuggets. We grow some corn that is turned into a snack product called popkerns. I'm not sure if popkerns is available locally, but it's sold around the country. As a matter of fact, it was really exciting. My family was on vacation in Hawaii, and we saw that product on the shelves in Hawaii, and it was tremendously exciting to know that corn was grown in Clinton County that was sold in Hawaii. So we grow some corn for another product that's I'm drawing a blank on the corn nuggets. They make a snack food product, and that is again sold around the country. That's a Clinton County grown product that's exported around the country. So some kind of exciting things. I think there's going to be more and more of those opportunities because the consumer these days wants to know where their product is grown, where their food is grown, you know, how what processes you used, were you friendly to the environment when you grew that food product. And so I think there's going to be a real opportunity for farmers to partner with businesses, you know, and provide that segregation and documentation of the crop from the time you put it in the ground until the time you deliver it to them and they take over the ownership of it and turn it into the packaged end product.
So we were talking about technology a minute ago. We've all seen a lot of changes over the last 20 years. But one thing with technology is it will continue to change, right? No telling what it'll look like in 10 years from now.
Well, I think that's true. And Jill may be able to speak to that a little better because I'm sure industry, you probably go to equipment
trade shows
that you can speak to a little bit to what's coming. But I certainly, you know, I'm not speaking with any authority, but I don't think we're terribly far off from driverless tractors and mm-hmm. and you know the kids these days do everything with a joystick on an Xbox or whatever, and they're going to take that skill and it's going to go right to a professional application. I think that they'll be operating a farm from the office and you're going to program it. My son was involved with a robotics team where they had to write the code for a robot to perform specific tasks for a judge. And it's not much of a stretch to say instead of a little, you know, shoebox-sized robot, you're going to move to a tractor. And instead of a tabletop, it's going to be a field. And mm-hmm. you program that tractor to do a task. So I think that we're probably going that way. I don't know how far, you know, Jill, how far out they think we may be.
Well, you can read a lot of articles. You know, we went back, 10 years ago where, you know, you first come out with your tractor, the GPS, your tractor drove itself, you know, you had to turn it, but
right.
it took a lot of stress relief off the driver as far as being able to turn around, look at the implement behind them, making sure everything was okay. I think you'll see the driverless tractor, maybe not in the corn soybean area right here. I think you'll see it tried in vegetables. Maybe out, you know, kind of west and stuff. There seems to be a trend there. You can read articles that they're all testing. You may have one brand, you know, if they're testing it, you know, John Deere's testing it. So they're all following suit and doing that. But
all checking it out, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's like Alan said, when he talks about the partnering, Tri-Green Tractor is doing that today. We are partnering with a local fertilizer company, co-op company. So to Alan's benefit as the farmer, both of us want to help him choose the product, choose the implement, choose the machinery to get that seed in the ground, grow it to its best potential. You know, we're about him. Mm-hmm. So if we don't come together for the farmer, the producer, to not be in com- upbeat with each other, but to say, okay, let us work with you. You're buying this product. Will it fit into our machine? And how's the outcome? And how are we going to spray your crop? And so the partnering, you're going to see that big time in the future, I think, coming down.
I think another thing that's going to be really exciting, and I don't know how far this is out, but I know that it's coming, is we've all heard about the Internet of Things.
Right.
And the ability to monitor, you know, you talk to your refrigerator when you're on the road, you know,
yeah,
through your phone.
Yeah.
It's in the works that they're going to have biodegradable monitoring devices, you know, chips, that it's not inconceivable that we would be able to monitor the health of every individual plant. So they would put a biodegradable chip on each seed.
Wow.
That would then get planted, and you would get data reported to you every day on
wow.
plant health for each individual plant in a field. So in my lifetime, you know, we would have changed from when I was a boy, you know, just, you know, everybody goes and throws out a little bit of fertilizer, you didn't, not very scientific, to now we've gone to precision agriculture where we have, you know, we can manage down to the acre, or sometimes down to even smaller than that if we want. We have precision farming that allows us to vary rates of fertilizer, vary seeding rates. We can really manage down to the foot. Now they're saying, let's take it to the plant.
Wow.
And that would be really, really neat and give you a way to manage your crop in a way that we would never could have dreamed of 20 years ago.
Sounds amazing. Jamie, what else could we touch on here with what we have? This plethora of knowledge here.
It'd be interesting to hear from Alan and about what he thinks of the tariffs situation and how that's going to affect the farmers locally, and maybe Jill with TriGreen on how the cost of steel affect the farmers here in Clinton County, and, you know, being successful to, you know, make the whole county successful.
Well, the first impact has no doubt been a negative, as prices have gone down with the fear and the uncertainty about whether our trade partners, the trade relationships will get disrupted. I think it's a fairly well-known fact, but one out of every three rows of soybeans in the United States gets exported,
mm-hmm.
and of those, 60% of that goes to China. So if we're having a trade dispute with China, soybeans in particular are very vulnerable, and that's been reflected in the price. The price of soybeans has been down about 25% in 2 months.
Mm.
In the long term, though, I think that And this seems to be a theme that you hear throughout the ag community. We all know how important trade is, but how more important fair trade is.
Right.
And so I think there's a certain level of support behind the goals that the president has in mind in trying to level the playing field and make sure that, you know, hey, you want access to our markets, but we want access to your markets as well. And so I think there's a certain amount of patience so far from the farm community to see whether this will work,
mm-hmm.
and that if we can improve our trade agreements and get access to new markets, then this short-term pain will definitely have been worth the long-term gain. But there's no doubt the longer it goes, you start to change the structure of the trade flows. You know, if you get into another season and Brazil's able to really increase their acreage and produce a much larger crop, then our crop's not needed as much because you
right.
have another major competitor. And if the tariffs on steel, you know, start to take hold over a longer period of time, then the equipment, when we have to re-up and replace our equipment, we're going to do it at a much more expensive level. So it's something I think we want to get. We'd like to work through these rough waters quickly and
mm-hmm.
get back to a kind of normal business. But so far, I'm supportive of the effort, and I guess I'm still hopeful.
Yeah, I think a lot of times with the trade particularly, it seems like it's hard to argue with what President Trump's trying to do, have that level playing field. But at the same time, it's kind of making all of us a little nervous. Like you said, you know, the long-term gain. So, Jill, talk a little bit about what we were talking about off the air about TriGreen has tried to maybe purchase some steel prior to knowing that some of these tariffs would go into effect.
Right. You know, most of the guys will, like a field cultivator shovel, you know, we're not going to spend the money, maybe not necessarily before you need it for the season. It's like seasonal parts. But
right.
we've tried to be smarter purchasers and going out and buying big quantities of like field cultivator shovels and reaching out to our customers and offering them a good financial program to go along with that purchase, knowing that need is not today for that piece of equipment is not going to be ran until next spring. So we're trying to do our best. We're watching that, as Alan said. We know it's going to come. We just don't know what the trickling effect will be. We may not see it now, but it's, you know, it was like when the fuel surcharge yeah. came. You know, we all experienced that, not right
oh,
away,
yeah.
but we took the tripling effect of that. So we're just trying to be smarter buyers and keep a good lookout and keep a positive lookout for it. and just to support our local producer.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back and wrap things up. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. Again, a special thanks to our sponsors, Clinton County Senator Brian Buchanan, Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Back with more Party Line next on WILO.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, if I start my bachelor's at Ivy Tech, will any four-year school take my transfer credits? Sure, dozens. We have transfer agreements with IU, Purdue, and lots more colleges and universities in and out of state. Last year, more than 31,000 of our students transferred credits. And this year, we'd love to help you join them. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Hi, folks. This is Steve Christopher from Hearing Care Professionals in Frankfort. Have you heard about the Starkey Halo made for iPhones? Stream your hearing aid directly to your phone for better hearing in noisy environments. Call me at 659-4327 for a free demo. That's 659-HEAR. I'd love to help you hear better.
Hearing Care Pro.
Make your yard the wow yard of the neighborhood? Then call Jeff Hardesty and let him create a landscape masterpiece for you. His crews are accredited or certified in the landscaping industry. Not just a bunch of guys with a truck and a shovel. Real landscapers, you know what I mean. For quality installation, innovative experience and design, it's always Hardesty Landscaping. Don't hire another landscaper until you talk to Jeff. Call him at 242-6015. That's 242-6015.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678. And put the life back in life insurance.
Thank you for making Clinton County Daily News your number one resource for the news you need in Clinton County. Now available is Party Line On Demand. Just click the On Air tab. Also now available is Help Wanted, where you can find a job or, if you're a business, find out how to advertise the jobs you already have available. Also, while you're there, let us know your opinion by answering the poll question of the week. And make sure you check the real-time weather radar. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your local free online newspaper.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. It's a Thursday morning. We're live from the Clinton County 2018 4-H Fair. Special thanks to our sponsors, Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Also, special thanks to Clinton County Senator Brian Buchanan. I'm Kevin Keith. We've got just about 5 minutes left in the program, and I wanted to give Jill a chance to talk about something we were talking about off the air just now. Briefly tell us, Jill, about the export or expos that Tri-Green Tractor.
Tri-Green Tractor is going to host a Harvest Expo August 8th. In Kokomo at the Kokomo Event Center, which Jamie just gave me the plug and looked at Alan, and like, if we had a big facility here, Jill, we could be hosted that here in Frankfort. But since we cover 11 counties as Tri-Green Tractor, we take it to the Kokomo Event Center. Starts at 9 o'clock. We're going to showcase probably 20 vendors. It's like if you go to the boat show down in Indianapolis, it's like a farm show for us. And we have classroom discussions and to give the producer new information, new technology, everything kind of like we've been talking about today. So visit our website, stop by any one of our local five dealerships. We feed lunch, so we kind of like to have an RSVP just for some numbers. But it's a great day. We have a great turnout. And if you need or have a desire to learn more about agriculture, that's a day to come.
How long have you guys done that?
We've been Tri-Green Tractor. This is our seventh year as we've merged.
Mm-hmm.
Most farmers will remember back in the old days you'd have a planter meeting or a planter clinic or a combine, and we'd bring you in and walk you around the combine, giving you some pointers of what maybe you need to look at maintenance prior to going into harvest. So it's been an ongoing thing. Years ago, we used to call it the John Deere days.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you'd bring your entire family. If you can remember the Roxy Theater back uptown Frankfurt,
yeah,
that's when we have photos, you know, they put a big movie on about how farming started. So it's just a continuous thing of what started years ago. The technology
evolves, right?
Yeah, we grow, we get different, we find new ways to teach you, and we learn ourselves. So this will be our seventh year for hosting that event.
Very good. What a nice service for the ag community. I wanted to ask Alan Dunn, Clinton County Council President, with us also. Can Clinton County continue to compete for workers in the ag sector? We talked about that a little bit off the air before we went on the air. Can we, and what do we need to do to ensure that we can?
Well, it's not competing for workers in the ag sector. It's competing for workers, period.
Period, true.
We have,
unbelievable
unemployment rate that's, I don't know if we're below 3% now.
I think we
2.8,
are.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Incredibly low. And it's been the biggest challenge we've been facing is elected officials trying to get new businesses to come here. They want to come here for all those reasons we talked about earlier. The one thing that holds them back more often than not is, well, I can come there, but can I find anybody to work at my business?
Right.
And so we've put a lot of emphasis on workforce development. That's why we worked so hard to get Ivy Tech to put their campus downtown, because we can now offer customized training to a business that wants to locate in our industrial park. If they need a particular kind of certification on a skill, we can develop a curriculum for that, go through our Ivy Tech campus and get them workers that have that skill. You know, we're trying to reach out to the schools at the high school level and talk about things like entrepreneurism and just basic workforce development skills, and it's even going down to the pre-K and kindergarten level, because really workforce development begins at that level.
Absolutely.
At the beginning levels of education. So the Clinton County Community Foundation is beginning to work with the Promise Foundation, which is an organization that helps give incoming kindergartners some initial seed money for their own 529s college savings accounts.
Right.
And the studies show that if a student has even just a couple of $100 in a college savings account, they're much more likely to go to college, because
mm-hmm.
they think they've got some money to use for college. I'm going to use it. Somebody believed in me enough to give me that money. And so we're starting that program.
They have a little more motivation to add their own, too.
Yeah,
right?
And they have milestones they can meet along the way that can get more donations or more investment in them. And so we're looking at that as really workforce development issues, that those people are going to be highly skilled workers when they're ready to enter the workforce, rather than the low-skilled workers that maybe some of them would be if they didn't continue their education or continue their skill development. So workforce development is the big issue right now in economic
mm-hmm.
development.
Alan, we appreciate your time for stopping by this morning.
I'm very happy to do it. We should do it again.
A lot of good knowledge. Well, you come in and see me and Ken, okay? Ken and I on the Party Line program, all right? And, Jill, thank you for stopping by this morning, too. I know you're busy as can be, but thanks for your insight. Jamie, we want to just invite everybody out, right? We're
That's
still going
right.
strong.
We have the cheerleading contest tonight. The rides will be up and going. And llama show is going on back here today. One part of agriculture we have mentioned this morning, the 4-H tractor driving contest is back here on the pavement behind the EMA, and there's a lot of good agricultural kids from Clinton County competing to back wagons and trailers and things this morning. They answer questions about their tractors and maintenance and all that kind of stuff, and that's a really good program, and I should have mentioned that earlier, but we invite people out to see all those things. And lastly, I want to thank you guys at Wilo and Russ and Ken and yourself for committing this week for the Party Line show, and I think we've had some really good interaction with people in the county you haven't heard from before, and mm-hmm. I think it's been a real positive for us.
Well, thanks for having us out, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, Jamie.
Okay.
Well, thank you. And thank you for joining us, too, here on WILO this Thursday morning. And thanks to our sponsors, too, Clinton County Senator Brian Buchanan helping us out all week long, Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Hearing Care Professionals, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. I'll be back with more Party Line live from the Clinton County 4-H 2018 Fair tomorrow morning at 8:30. Don't forget our Party Line replay this afternoon at 5 o'clock here on WILO. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.